The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Hello and welcome to the Lock-In Podcast, the show that lifts the lid on life in the pub trade by those working in it. I'm the morning advertiser's Ed Beddington, and with me as ever are my two favourite co-hosts, my only co-hosts, Heath Ball and Nikki Thatcher. Heath Ball was famously voted Pub Personality of the Year shortly before the world was plunged into chaos with the pandemic. Now, some might say the two events were connected and the world needed to reset following that shock decision, but I couldn't possibly say that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Nikki, meanwhile, is a core part of the team, the backbone, if you will, of the morning advertiser. The fact that backbone resembles the arthritic, stooped and crooked spine of a 98-year-old is just a coincidence.
Oh, ha ha ha.
So ageist. You can't say stuff like that anymore. You get cancelled.
She's young.
I am young. Thank you.
Don't break my podcast equipment, Heath. Right, guys, lovely to have you with us. Nikki said I had to say that, so I'm supposed to be nicer to you both. So,
yeah.
It's a star, isn't it? We are recording this at the Brewdog in Waterloo, and we're actually in their podcast studio, as Heath keeps complaining everything is too noisy. Is this better, Grandad?
No, it's just people complain to me. They can't hear the podcast.
I do try to turn you down on the regular basis, on the basis that we don't need to hear you ranting. But we are going to be talking about quizzes in this episode of the podcast by special request from Heath Ball, who's a massive...
Just for the record, I hate podcasts. I hate podcasts. I hate quizzes. I can't think of anything bloody worse than a quiz.
Brilliant.
Set the tone right there.
I was going to say, is that because you're terrible at them?
No, I'm quite, you know, my general knowledge is amazing.
Well, we'll find out at the end.
You two, I'm surprised you're reporters, honestly. The amount of general knowledge and the amount of news stories you have no idea about daily.
We do, because you tell us every single news story.
We just rely on you for that. Yeah. Anyway, can I get back to the intro?
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
So, the Great Pub Quiz is almost as iconic as the Pub Roast, which you made us talk about the other day, Heath. So, but how do you get it right? We'll be hearing from a range of experts today, including world record holder Richard Curtis of the Peacock Farm.
What's the record for?
Longest running pub quiz.
Oh my god,
it's your possibly your worst nightmare, Heath. Anyway, I'm going to look forward to that. That's going to be brilliant, isn't it? We'll be getting technical with Mark Walsh of Quizbit, Alan Leach of Speed Quizzing, and Adam Castleton of Startle. We'll be talking about how to run the best quizzes with operators Adrian Clayton of the Fortescue Arms in Devon and Pete Wilson and Pete Marshall of the King's Arms in Bexley Heath, and we'll be put through our paces at the end by Quizmaster Richard Porter of Hashtag Quiz to Finish.
So. God, it's like the guy, all the boffins at school have got together and bought a pub. That's what a pub quiz is like, isn't it?
You're so horrible. Just because you're shit at pub quizzes, don't take it out on us.
Sometimes I have to drink a lot, so go on, carry on. Let's get this out.
That's just your excuse for everything, isn't it? Sometimes I have to drink a lot.
I've been drinking 3 days.
Really? What's that in your hand?
3 days.
Okay, 2.5 days. Count today as a day. All right, calm down.
Indeed. Right, before we get to all of that and enjoy tormenting Heath with the joy that is pub quizzes, let's have a chat about what's going on. March trade, how's it been? I'm seeing
Well, the weather's
people...
not helping anybody, is it?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Even if you've got a really country pub with loads of wood fires and stuff, you're still going to be suffering.
So wooden fires wouldn't last that long.
But I don't think, it's really, I think I looked at photos from last year and everybody was wearing t-shirts and had the gardens a bit busy.
Yeah, someone said, not that I want to bring this up, but because obviously pubs weren't open, but that March of the first lockdown.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was like summer all day, every day. Now,
God hates pubs.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hunt.
Aren't you an atheist?
Hate pubs.
I must admit, I'm seeing people sort of saying, they've seen business tail off. But do you think it's just weather?
I think it's weather. I think it's weather and also the cost of living. And I think people are just a bit more careful and they're choosing the days they go out and spend money. Why would you go out when it's freezing cold and unless you don't want to turn your heating on?
I mean, some are saying the Six Nations has not ignited. judging by the end of the match the other day, that's not a great surprise, is it?
Oh, you but, guys are so shit.
I mean, I'd like to argue against that, particularly with
that
a
was
Kiwi.
A hiding, man. But I turned it off. I thought the first try and the first, like, I was like, wait, hold on. Have I just, are they showing highlights from that last game? What the fuck is going on? I was watching it with some English friends and that was
seven tries.
It was embarrassing.
It was quite bad.
Imagine going all the way to Tickdom, freezing your ass off, and just watch that.
I was invited. I had to turn it down because I was busy. So I'm absolutely not gutted in the slightest.
My mate Ryan went, said it was a disappointment. He's South African, so well, I think he was laughing at you guys anyway.
Probably. Ofgem calling for views on the non-domestic energy market.
Yeah, but there'll be like another government inquiry that takes 10 years, loads of money, and nothing ever happens.
Well, I was going to say better late than never, but I mean, yeah, it's by the time they actually decide to do nothing, the whole situation.
They should have capped it at unit rate. Regardless of the contract you're on, you can't pay more than 20 pence or something per unit. You know, they should have just done that, but they didn't.
No.
So, no, it is, you know.
Budget's coming up. What are we anticipating? Heath, what are you hoping for?
Well, I think nothing's going to happen for hospitality.
No.
I think we're again, you know, you see it with Kate Nichols' dialogue on her Twitter the other day. It's changed. There's no mention of VAT, and she said to me, "We're not going to get it." But there's no mention of that. We're all banging the drum for that. But I think we're going to get nothing.
Well, I think that the VAT thing, I mean, from the various people in the know that I've spoken to, the trade association has all been told, you haven't got the scoobies on that. It's just not going to happen.
So then it's like, you know what I mean? Like, we've got these crazy costs. We're basically funding these big shareholders' payouts for their energy, these energy companies, and we're paying, what is it, 30% more inflation on our food, and we're really getting no government help. And they wasted all that money during lockdown on us, trying to keep us going, and now we're basically out in the cold.
Doesn't literally make a great deal of sense, really, does it?
So, it doesn't. Why waste all that money? They would have been off in lockdown just going, sorry, guys. Good luck. Bye.
On your own.
Yeah, you're on your own. And now they've just done that and just been really cold. Jeremy Hunt's a... I'll give you another name beginning with Hunt, but...
I could see
they shouldn't be there anyway. This is just ridiculous. They shouldn't be in power. This is the whole thing. The whole Glenica thing with the BBC. Everything's just car crash.
And moving on. One in three pubs, are admitting to passing on rising costs at the moment.
That's ridiculous, though. You need to... Thing is, if we're 30% food inflation, what do we actually need to put our price up on our food? Do you know, look, I sent you an example of cauliflower the other day. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Well, your prices were crazy, but you said you had one wholesaler wants to charge you £5.60.
Yeah, hold on, but we go to that, and then I went down to Ocado when I bought the cauliflower from Ocado, and the size of my fist. The ones I pay £5.60 from the Tora, which are, you know, ethically...
The size of Nicky's head.
They're huge. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I haven't got a big head.
Well,
right.
So yeah, it's all. But you've seen, you know, you have to shop around a lot more than you did. Like I was at, you know, one of my wholesalers, online wholesalers that get deliveries from, it's £58 for 20 litres of vegetable oil. But if I go to the cash and carry, it's £28.95 for the same oil. So you just, you know, I mean, I feel like Del Boy some days. Yeah, smarter, but also it's exhausting. Yeah.
You send your staff around the supermarkets.
Then you work out how much your staff are costing you per hour. My staff make more than a junior doctor, you apparently.
You mean they won't do it for free?
No.
We're going to come on to this because you did cheat on us the other day.
Yep. Absolute traitor over there. Yeah,
recorded a podcast with a rival podcast.
I wouldn't say it's a rival podcast.
Well, they write about Olive, so...
No, it's Olive Magazine.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, you did cheat on us. You were very... you were all right.
I was all right.
You were all right. You were okay.
I didn't swear.
You swore once. You did swear once. I counted one swear word because I went...
What was it?
Oh, he couldn't stop himself. I think you think he just said shit, actually.
Oh, shit's not a bad swear word.
No. But, I mean, that's the punctuation for him. But he kind of tried to hide. He sort of went shit. Oh, yeah. But one thing that did really make me laugh in that was when you were talking about how you'd maintain the retention of your staff and you went, treating them with respect.
I do.
Do you?
It's like tough love, you though. There's respect, and then there's tough respect.
Paolo gets treated like Manuel in Fawlty Towers. You are generally beating him around the head.
Fucking acts like Manuel in Fawlty Towers. I gave him an instruction yesterday, and I went, okay, did you do that? And he went, what do you mean, Like, don't do You haven't done it, have you? No.
Is that when you started hitting with the newspaper?
Honestly, my level of communications got so detailed right now, I could write manuals for nuclear submarines because the instructions I pass on are so fucking clear. And still...
Have you ever thought maybe you're a bit of a control freak?
Mm.
Just throwing it out there. Asking the question.
No.
No?
No. No? No, I thought it was quite easy going.
Really?
Well, not really.
No. I think we should get some of your staff on the podcast just to ask them what they think.
You'd be like, you can speak freely. And they'd be like, I'm good.
There we go.
Please, God, he's going to put us back in the container.
Moving on. Scottish Government are moving ahead and are being told not to or encouraged not to.
Sorry, Scottish operators.
Plans to ban alcohol.
Sorry, Scottish operators. I think you should have your independence. We build the wall back over and you guys can live up there in hell. It is going to be hell up there. This bottle return scheme, banning advertising on alcohol, minimum alcohol things. God almighty. What is it? This is like, what do you got here? We're going back to prohibition.
And isn't the production side, certainly the whiskey, it's like one of their main exports.
Yeah, just destroying that market.
Just like, yeah,
yeah, we don't need the money. We've got the North Sea oil. We don't need this. Yeah, we don't need happy people in our economy. We don't want happy, you know,
people making
citizens.
Money.
Jesus.
Well, let's park that one there, and we shall be moving on to quizzes just for you, Heath.
Yay.
Woohoo!
You're listening to the Lock In podcast, and we're talking about the Great British Pub Quiz in this episode. The quiz is one of the iconic pub events and always a popular draw for pubs that can get it right. But why is it so popular and why is it important to pubs? To help us discuss that, I'm delighted to welcome Richard Curtis, a GM of the Peacock Farm in Bracknell. Welcome, Richard.
Hi there, how are we?
Good, sir, thank you. Look, Richard, you're an award-winning operator. You took the title of Charity Champion Pub in the 2020 Great British Pub Awards at the Portsmouth Arms when you were working back there, mainly for your great work running marathon quiz sessions during lockdown. Heath, you remember that? And you remember all those quizzes that you were doing?
No.
During Zoom quizzes?
I was drinking heavily. I can't remember much about lockdown.
Rich, I mean, tell us about it. You know, you actually set a world record, I believe.
Yes. So we were pretty quick to the curve. It's the kind of thing that everybody started during lockdown, whereas we shut the pub on the Friday and we actually started quizzing on the Saturday. So we kind of built our audience pretty quickly, and it kind of went from strength to strength, and that's where the idea of we'd built such an audience that attempting the Guinness World Record came from.
So were you known for pub quizzes prior to the lockdown or not?
Not really, no. So the pub had a very long-standing Sunday night quiz that had gone on forever, run by the locals, and I was always happy for that to continue. So me personally, was I known for quizzing? No. But there certainly was a popular one at the pub previous to that.
And so what made you, what prompted you to sort of instantly go into quizzes then when lockdown started?
So for me, it was that feeling of closing the doors on that Friday night, knowing we weren't opening the next day. You know, I've been in hospitality since I left school, and I've been a pub manager for sort of 12 years. And it was that closing of the doors, knowing that we wasn't going to be sort of opening them the next day. And it was how can we still give something to the community? How can we still be that central focal point of the community? And I wrote down a lot of ideas, and it seemed to be the pub quiz for me that was the one that would work. And it did.
Mm. And you decided to go for a world record. Tell us about what did you do?
Yeah, so it come up. So we were quizzing. I think it was, so we were quizzing three times a day, Saturday and Sunday, and then twice a day, Monday to Friday, but we were quizzing in front of anything from 50 to 3,000 people every day.
Jesus.
Bloody hell.
It kind of popped up a few times, and I kind of brushed it off, and then it started to pop up a lot, and then I sort of researched it and thought, yeah, that looks like a great idea.
That's a lot of people sitting at home doing nothing, isn't it?
Oh, well,
yeah. We're locked down.
Didn't have a lot to do, did we, I guess? It's,
I was usually hammered by midday.
How's that any different to normal? Well. Sorry, Richard.
Yeah, I like to think they were as well. That's why I enjoyed it.
So. Hammered doing the poll quiz.
Did you have prizes and stuff for the winners?
No. So it was all honesty based. It was me reading out sort of 50 questions and then going through the answers afterwards.
How much time did it take you to write all these questions?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, 3 quizzes at the weekend and 2 quizzes during the week. It was.
Let's get you on your Millionaire Show, one of those quiz shows. He must know everything there is to know.
I was going to say, I mean, would you say...
You must be a genius.
Would you say you are now a master quizzer? If that's a...
I wouldn't go as far as a master quiz. Maybe a master quiz writer.
Let's get him to Vegas, man. We can make some money.
I don't think they do pub quizzes in Vegas.
Well, I don't know.
It's blackjack. It's not really the same. I'll explain to you off air.
Okay.
So there is a difference.
Yeah, every time I go to Vegas, I don't really go gambling.
You don't win, no. So, I mean, you did... Well, how long did you do it for?
So it was 34 hours and 11 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I would rather peel the skin off my skull than do that. I've got no hair, I know that. That's why I said skin.
I mean, I've seen the video because when you won the award at the Great British Pub Awards, there's video footage of you doing this. And you were a broken man at the end of this.
And I'm not the greatest one for speeches, but I just remembered, like, there was just the most inspirational speech I finished with, and I have no idea where it came from. I was just absolutely broken and no idea what to do next kind of thing.
Never been tempted to try and break your own record?
How many coffees did you drink?
Lockdown 1 was very, very different to the rest of them.
Yeah.
And during lockdown 2, we done a sort of, I think it was a New Year's Eve party, because obviously we went back into lockdown just after Christmas.
Mm.
We done a New Year's Eve party where we done lots of different bits, but the majority of it was sort of different kinds of quizzes. And we done that for 10 hours.
Right.
And I was just as broken as doing it. It was absolutely running off.
How many questions did you ask in 10 hours?
I think in total we done, I think it was about 46 different quizzes, and they were sort of 50 question quizzes. So,
for the 34 hour, how many quizzes did you have to do for that?
So I think it was around about the 45, 46 different quizzes.
Right. I would say for that one. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were sort of 50 question quizzes.
Mm.
So.
Mm. Oh my God.
I mean,
I feel sick thinking about it.
I mean, it's a fantastic achievement. I assume no one's been insane enough to take your world record from you yet. And
it's been broken a few times.
Oh, really?
Actually. So yeah, it has. I mean, like I say, lockdown was, you know, what else was it next for, kind of thing. So I believe it's been broken a couple of times. And yeah, good luck to them. They're more than welcome to it.
I mean, Richard, you obviously seized on something in lockdown. I mean, but I mean, why do you think sort of pub quizzes are quite sort of integral to pubs, that they're such a popular activity?
I think there's a majority of things. It's a different reason to go to the pub. I think it's a chance to show off. And I think it's just, it's different to any other reason to go into the pub kind of thing. I'd link it to kind of, you know, people that play darts at a pub and people that play pool at a pub. It's that kind of, that enjoyment factor, but equally that chance to sort of show off as well.
I suppose it's a bit of a leveller, isn't it? Because, you know, you can be, not everyone can play darts, not everyone can play snooker, not everyone can do karaoke, and I'm looking specifically at you here.
I can't sing.
I know. Whereas anyone can do a quiz, can't they?
Well, yeah, not
but,
well.
Oh, don't they? Come on. Like, what?
Everyone, you're always going to have somebody who knows random bits of knowledge. So in a good quiz team, you're going to have different people. You know, you'd be amazing at, Love Island, Heath. Nicky would be fantastic about police facts,
or
something weird like that.
Why did I get Love Island?
I don't know, because
you're a big fan.
Like a Love Island fan.
Okay, great. Must be my lips.
But I suppose it is that leveller, isn't it, Richard? You know, anyone can get involved. Everyone can take part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, are you? this is the question now. Are you running quizzes in your new site?
Not every day. No, certainly not every day. Yeah, I mean, we still, so we do a a very traditional standard pub quiz on a Monday, and then we like we do a bit of a quirky one on a Thursday. So two a week. Yeah, for me, it's you know, they're great reasons to visit a business.
Fantastic. And what I'll put you on the spot here. What's the best team name you've had in your quizzes?
Oh God. It depends how PG it is.
Not very.
You've met Heath, right?
I mean, I have seen a couple that you wouldn't want to read out. being put on the spot. I mean, it's anything that uses the word quiz, isn't it? in a creative way.
They're the best ones.
I mean, we did use a similar name in a recent trade pub quiz with Heineken that we were actually the winning team, Nicky.
Which we were. Was
remarkable. So it just shows the level of competition.
Were you the guys the only team?
Pretty much, I think, yeah. You know, everyone else was that drunk, I think. But
we are on the
trophy. It's the trophy. The best thing about it is that the inaugural name on the trophy is our quiz name, which did use the word quiz, possibly face as well. So we'll leave that up to your imaginations.
I can see you turning up to a pub that? Quiz, pocket protector, pencils, pens, highlighters, pad, little visor like you're playing poker to keep the sun out of your eye, the light out of your eyes.
Absolutely.
I can see you with.
Yep.
Pants pulled up around your waist.
Brought my own buzzer and everything.
You'd be like a camera member who does quizzes.
Well, on that note, we are out of time. But, Richard, thank you very much for that. We shall leave you to go and prepare for your next quiz. You're listening to the Lock In podcast with myself, Ed Beddington, Heath Ball, and Nicky Thatcher. In this episode, we're all about the quizzes, much to Heath's delight, and we're now going to take a look at what it takes to run a cracking quiz. We've got some great guests to help us with that. Firstly, we've got Adrian Clayton of the Fortescue Arms in Devon, and along with him, we've got the two Petes, Pete Wilson and Pete Marshall from the King's Arms in Bexley Heath. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
So, I mean, let's start with the two Petes. We're going to have to separate you out to avoid confusion. And I know we could have did this off air, but we're going to do it on air, Pete. So, whichever Pete I'm talking to here. So, we've got Big Pete. Can you speak for us, Big Pete?
Yeah. I'm Big Pete.
Big Pete. Excellent. Good.
I'm a large man.
Good. And then we've got Little Pete. I mean, Pete, sorry, well, just Pete.
More slightly rounded Pete, but still a Pete nonetheless.
I mean, you're both also kind of got big bushy beards and not a lot of hair on top, so I mean, it's a challenge. I may get this wrong, so fortunately...
It's a genetical Pete thing.
It is, there you go, and it's all audio, so no one cares anyway, so brilliant. Right, Adrian, let's start with you on your own there. Let's talk about how you're running a very successful quiz, so much so you've actually got a waiting list of people to join you, and you're actually broadcasting it on YouTube for people at home and even other pubs as well. Is that right?
We are. We've been doing pub quizzes here for... Well, we've been here 9 years and doing some really good quizzes. We hold 10 teams, 6 people every 2 weeks. So we have 60 people every 2 weeks. Sometimes we've done more than that. Mm. But it's been going really, really well. We've been asked to host quizzes at other pubs as well. Obviously, I can't do that here and be somewhere else at the same time. Mm. So as from our next quiz on the 21st, we're going live on YouTube, and we've got a queue of people waiting to join in and watch, and we'll see how it goes. We can only but try.
Oh, you're going to be one of these YouTubers making millions.
Never said I was going to be a YouTuber. All the kids want to be YouTubers. I said I would never do it. I said
you're
I
a YouTuber.
I would never do it. I've caved in and I am going on YouTube.
I mean, the kids will love it. I remember my youngest a while back did sort of say, I think I posted something on him on YouTube, and he turned around.
He's not your youngest, your daughter's your youngest.
Oh, that's true, middle one. Yeah, I forget. There's too many of them.
Your wife listens to this one.
It's fine. I'll get away with it. Just don't tell her. And he just said, yeah, I'll be a millionaire now because I put a video of him on YouTube. So the kids really do kind of think that YouTube is...
Well, you don't have to work, do you?
And, yeah, it's great. It's great. Film yourself playing games. doing quizzes. Yeah,
absolutely. But this is it. We do the quiz anyway. I'm here doing it anyway. I may as well put it out there.
Exactly.
Make a million quid doing it at the same time.
There we
Who
go.
Knows?
There
Who
you
knows?
Go. Heath, this is your route. You can embrace the love of quizzes.
No.
Heath is not a quiz
fan. I'm
guys,
just going to stick to my OnlyFans page.
All three subscribers.
You and Nikki.
Your wife, the cat, and the dog.
I'm definitely not a subscriber.
My wife's not a subscriber either, mate.
I think we're getting slightly off track here, Keith. Thank you for that. And I've lost all track of where we were as well. So, I mean, Adrian, why is it so popular, do you think? Why have you got a waiting list? What makes your quiz so special?
I think it's because the way we do it here, it's fun. It's not difficult. You're not trying to host Mastermind or Eggheads. It's fun. You're giving people a chance to sort of give them the impression that they know things. And they're intelligent, and everybody knows something about something. Mm. So when we do our quizzes here, it's always 5 rounds, 10 questions each. We always start with general knowledge. And then I mix it up a little bit, you know, bit of music, bit of TV, bit of films, but keep it easy for people.
Mm.
That way they can feel like they're involved, and they don't have to feel like they're the most intelligent person in the room. Because like I said, everybody knows something about something.
I mean, this should appeal to you, Heath, no?
Yeah.
You're never the most intelligent person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather paint.
So let's go to the two Petes, Big Pete, Little Pete. You guys run quizzes. I mean, have you been doing it for a while? Well, tell us a bit about your quiz.
Go on, I'll jump in to start with. Yeah, well, we've obviously been on the site for coming on to 5 years now, and it was probably about 2 years in before we started the quiz process. But exactly what Adrian just said there, we for the first couple of months, we found that doing it too seriously, we attracted very seriously boring people, and it made for a seriously boring night. So we very much went down the route of exploring other quizzes. We went out and we played other people's quizzes and just plucked stuff from other areas and took it upon ourselves to create our own version of everyone else's version. But the goal was ultimately to attract people, to have fun, enjoy the night, and make it more about the social aspect and the fact that anyone could play along and anyone could win. And it's been very successful off the back of that.
I mean, that's a fair point, isn't it? Because, I mean, you can vary your quiz. You know, you can be highbrow or you can just be fun. You know, I've been to quizzes, yeah, like you say, there's that mastermind session and then they suddenly bring out the Play-Doh and ask you to build some obscure object or... You know, pretty much everyone's just going to do a comedy penis when Play-Doh comes out. But I mean, that's
been there, done that.
Yeah, because no one's ever done that before, have they? I mean, Heath, you've got a pub down the road from you, though. They really go highbrow, don't they?
Oh man, do you guys know the Prince of Wales in Highgate? It's supposed to be the hardest pub quiz in the country. And I've been in there, stuck in there. I had a couple of pints, and the quiz has started, and it's a fucking freak show. Man, these guys
are deathly silent in there as well.
Yeah, they all live at home with their mum, and they're all super serious, and they get really upset. Someone talks when oh my god, and the questions are just ridiculous. You know,
do you shout out the answers just to annoy them?
Oh yeah, right. I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. It's witchcraft.
I think this is more towards Big Pete here, though. But you guys have tried out AI. I think you have as well, Adrian. We'll come to you as well on that. But Big Pete, what have you been doing with AI? How have you used that?
It's so dark.
Sorry, I'm a bit of a technophile, so I just love anything to do with technology, I suppose. And with AI, it's just been taken over recently. Everything is filtered down to like TikTok filters to people using it to write medical essays and all sorts. So I just kind of figured, well, what if we did a whole quiz that is entirely written by AI? And I think to the most part, I kind of got it right, but it was a long process and definitely an interesting one. But I was using ChatGPT. I don't know if you heard of that.
Yes.
Right.
The big buzzword floating around is ChatGPT, because that seems to be the most creative, lifelike kind of thing. I just asked it to write me some quizzes, some quiz rounds, and I've included little jokes and little fun things to say, and the jokes were horrendous. I was like, I want all these answers really contain a joke, and it was barely jokes, but they were so funny just... having Pete read them out, which is amusing.
I was going to say, I mean, they're used to Pete's jokes, so surely it can't be that bad, no?
but how hard were the questions? How hard were the questions from the AI? Were they good questions?
fairly sort of in line with what, because I use prompts to kind of dictate how difficult I want it, and much like the other guys, we like to keep things easy as well. We like things to be very open to everyone. So I kind of went down that route, and if anything was too difficult, for our true or false round example, for example, I've asked it to generate the same round 10 different times and then pick the best questions out of those and that sort of thing. So generally sort of kept it quite easy, but some of the questions it was churning out some really tough stuff, but we sort
and
of
some real crap as well, but that's what made it funny.
Garbage, yeah. Which is almost the fun of it, yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Have you used it again? Is it something that you're going to use again or not?
The actual generation side of it, I mean, I'd like to try it again a little bit further down the line once it's improved a little bit and got a bit better, because it was a fun experiment. With our picture round, I actually used AI to generate images for our picture rounds, and that's something I've been doing, I wouldn't say ever since, but I think most quizzes since, I've been using AI to generate some really interesting picture rounds. So I think next week's quiz I was going to take like fictional characters, say Mickey Mouse, and ask AI to generate that as a real person. And it's kind of like what AI interprets as, you know, Bugs Bunny as a real life person, and can obviously our guests pick up on who they're meant to be, sort of thing. And I've been doing lots of things like that since. Question wise, no, but picture round is definitely a good tool for that.
So. I think we both agreed at the end of it. This is kind of awkward. We're only about two walls apart, but we're both sitting separately. But what we both agreed at the end of it was there was plenty to be taken from it, but where it was so raw, it just made for a very disjointed quiz. It's fairly disjointed what we do anyway, and that's the idea of it. But it was probably a little bit more awkward than it would normally be. So we had fun doing it, but we both agreed that there was aspects that we'd reuse and plenty that we probably wouldn't at this stage.
Adrian, I believe you've used it as well. I mean, what's been your experience?
I have, as with both the Pete's, it's very good. It's certainly not infallible by any means. It's no good for anything that's up to date, so anything before 2021,
right?
It's fine. If you simple things, if you ask it who the current Prime Minister is, it'll tell you it's Boris Johnson.
Okay,
so probably is.
I think you'd like to think so. It's not perfect, but to generate quizzes for anybody who's not used to doing quizzes, I think it's a perfect tool for anybody who's starting to do quizzes, because like both Pete's, you can ask it to do anything, and the more specific you are, the better it is. I asked it, can you please write me a 50 question quiz on 5 different subjects, and in 10 seconds it's done. And right. To be fair, it's pretty good, it's pretty accurate most of the time. I said it's not perfect, but for anybody starting out on doing quizzes, I definitely think it's worth people looking at to give them a head start on getting quizzes done.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I mean, one of the challenges with quizzing, and I guess you guys have sort of tried, because you're focusing on the fun, not the more cerebral side, but is those people that come in and they nurse a half pint throughout your entire quiz and sort of sit there. I mean, how do you increase consumption? How do you encourage consumption?
It's supposed to be responsible drinking.
All right, you can have a soft drink, Heath.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink. I know you find that difficult as a concept. but how do you encourage people to actually use the pub and not just come in and sit there and do the quiz?
We put
simple things, salted popcorn on the table, three other people. cost me two quid for a big bag of popcorn, put it on the table. We always do 5 rounds. After round 3, I always have a 10-minute break. I say, come on, right, everyone get to the bar, give you a chance, stretch your legs, come and buy some more drinks. This is all for charity. We don't make anything out of this. So please support the bar as well while you're here. And to be fair, generally, after round 3, everybody gets up and makes their way to the bar. And it suits us.
Yeah, okay. And Pete, what about you?
I'd like to say that ours is all generated by atmosphere more than anything else. Something else that we picked up on one of the earlier quizzes, when we sort of put them in the more boring aspect, someone just pointed out the fact that we had no music on because people were playing a quiz, and they said, well, you can have music on, but you can have it low. So getting the level of music right in amongst the quiz, so the quiz is still playing, it keeps a level of sound, so it keeps people being able to talk at a loud enough level that it actually drives atmosphere. And we have plenty of staff on weekend. Our quiz is weekly. Generally, we're around 13 teams on a weekly basis. probably 10 to 13 teams. Mm-hmm. But we have plenty of staff on. We offer 10% off food for anyone playing the quiz. And we just make sure that everyone's coming in. I wholly believe the atmosphere is king to everything. And so because it is fun, it's interactive, it's lighthearted. We take breaks, obviously, but we ensure that there's people hitting the tables as much as possible to ensure that the food sales are coming in, that the drinks are flowing. And to be honest, I think we've managed, just through the attitude of the Wednesday nights and the hijinks, we've wheedled out any serious quiz players because, I'll be frank, we don't really want them. And as a result of that, we're left with a lot of people that just want to come in and have a fun, and they treat it like a full-on night out every single time. Yeah. So we've sort of done it in that way. And equally, little things like the microphone, it's a wireless microphone, so we can walk amongst the tables, so we're asking for answers to tables individually. Right. It's almost like a game show. It's a walking, talking game show.
Yeah.
So, it's just atmosphere, I think. Yeah. If you get that right, then people will spend. They get caught up with the evening and obviously responsibly drinking. And if they win the top prizes, then maybe not so responsibly drinking.
Cheating. What's the view on cheating? Because I mean, you can't really stamp it out, can you? Is it a bit of fun? I mean, do you sort of throw people out by the scruff of the neck if you catch them googling under the table?
Well, Pete's got a good example. Pete, do you remember the we've only probably had one or two examples of where they were blatantly caught. Pete, how did you deal with those ones?
I was walking past one table and I just happened to see him on his phone, and I sort of snuck behind him where there's a little fence, and I could see him like looking up the name of the artist and the song and all this and the other. I just walked up to him and I'm like, what are you looking at? And he swiped over to the next app, which was Instagram. He's like, I'm just on Instagram. I'm like, no, you weren't. What was that? I think we just didn't give him any points to the rounds, and they stopped after that. But it's difficult because they're a team that were consistently doing very well. They sort of look back and think, oh, I don't know what's, you know, and since then they I think their scores dipped for a while, and then I don't think we saw them again after that.
I think the hardest
part for me now is the music round. I think is the biggest one, because on I don't know about all phones, but on my Pixel, if the song's playing,
it tells you on your phone,
just exactly the song artist within seconds, and it's how do you combat that? You can't really, but
ban mobile phones. Let's see.
Get rid of the music round. Put poetry in.
Poetry.
Hold on. Come on.
It's from the most unpoetic Kiwi I've ever met. I'm like, oh, God, you're a Kiwi, damn it. I mean, really? Poetry?
Seriously?
I suppose. Yeah. It's worth a shot, isn't it? Adrian, how about you? How do you tackle cheating? Or do you not care?
Well, we do. We're quite lucky in certain respect, being in darkest depths of Devon. There's no mobile signal here at all.
Faraday cage.
Just turn the Wi-Fi off.
We don't provide Wi-Fi. We don't provide public Wi-Fi.
Oh, there we go.
Anymore. Amazing. I provide no public Wi-Fi, and that nobody's going to get a signal here if they try. Thankfully for that, I don't have a problem with people cheating, because I know they can't search for anything if they wanted to.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Yes. Disable the Wi-Fi. Faraday cage. That's it. We're out of time, guys. But that last question is asking everyone, what's your favourite team name for a quiz or one you've had? Who wants to take that one first? Go on, Adrian. What's your favourite?
Obviously, we all hear different ones all the time. One of my favourites, which I do hear quite time and time again, is how to speak Irish. Well, oil, be booked. Said quickly. Well, oil, be booked. It's always a good one. Makes me laugh every time.
There we go. Pete.
The obviously plenty of rude ones. Every week we give the teams an opportunity to actually name it. We give them a theme and they get a bonus point if it makes people in the room laugh. So,
Pete, I need to come to your quiz night. I think I'd be good at that.
Oh, God.
You'd do something rude, Nikki.
I would, yeah.
It would be rude.
I would, yeah.
Please join in. That's the fun of it. But a good old-fashioned favourite, Quizzy McQuiz Face, popped up a few times, and that always makes me smile, being a fan of Attenborough. So, it's always a good one. But, no, there's definitely been some rude ones out there.
Excellent. Big Pete, feel free to be rude.
I think along the same lines, yeah, we kind of encourage people to get a bit offensive and a bit silly with it. But I think a couple of weeks ago I asked, what's the lowest point of your week? That's got to be your team name. But like as a joke, you know.
Oh, God.
And someone just turned around and put, coming to this quiz.
I mean, that was inviting, that one, wasn't it? But, on that note, guys, really appreciate your time. Thank you for that. This is the Lock In podcast, and we're talking pub quizzes in this week's episode. And we're going to now take a look at how technology is shaping the world of pub quizzes. The great thing about a quiz is that any pub can run it with a piece of paper and a pen and a man with a loud voice. But with consumers demanding better and greater experiences all the time, is it time that pubs moved on and invested to make a slicker and more polished experience? We've got two great guests from the techie world of quizzing now, with Adam Castleton of Startle and Mark Walsh of QuizBiz. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi. Let's just get an idea of what you guys do very quickly. Adam, you're not technically a quiz provider, but you do help with the technical side of quizzing. Do you want to just give us a brief rundown of what you're doing?
Absolutely. So we provide music and digital signage and screen entertainment to pubs, as well as the retail sector. So we're ideally positioned to help people that want to introduce a digital version of a quiz, because we're already connected to the screens and to the speaker systems, and that's how we help deliver digital quizzes.
Okay, fantastic. And Mark, tell us about QuizBit. What do you do and how do you do it?
I started selling concepts to, or working with a licensed trade, back in 2007. I launched a concept then, which grew on to be a very fast-growing pub game. I then launched QuizBit in 2017, and basically QuizBit started life to stop people cheating in pub quizzes, effectively. That's where it came from, that was where the idea came from. Could we produce a cloud-based quiz platform for venues, managers, hosts, landlords, to run their own interactive quiz, effectively, is where we started. It's gone on to be played in hundreds of venues. It's been played by now over 500,000 people in 47 countries. But effectively, it is still run and affectionately as a interactive pub quiz. Some do full nights of it, some do it as a round between a quiz. It's quite a versatile product. There's over 5,000 quizzes in there for you to choose from as well. So there's plenty to go at, really.
Cool, good stuff. So, I mean, as I said earlier, you know, the beauty of a pub quiz is it can be very simple. Any pub can do it. What would you say the benefits are of upping the game, putting more technology into that? Mark, do you want to start with that?
I suppose kind of I can answer that sort of with a timeline, really. I mean, it used to be a time where, you know, people were less, you know, more used to pen and paper and more used to doing various things, you know, without the aid of technology. Since the pandemic, I suppose we're now working with a much more educated audience, people that are used to using the devices to do these things. Mm. The reason that we do what we do is we make it very, very easy for a pub manager or a pub landlord to run an interactive quiz, or any quiz for that matter. There is an awful lot to do in a pub. From, you know, the food that you serve and the drinks that you serve and the management of that venue. Having to write a quiz and having to then give out the sheets of paper, having to then count all those scores up and having to then turn around and promote and push that quiz can become quite labour intensive. I think digitising the pub quiz, you know, it doesn't fit, you know, it doesn't solve everyone's problems as such. I mean, there's still people out there that would like pen and paper, and I still think the pen and paper, you know, has got a long way to go yet. But there is, yeah, people out there that want to be able to digitise lots of other things. And the pub quiz is just really taking that step, that digital pub quiz takes it a step further, really.
Adam, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think picking up on the operational aspect, not everybody is good at running a pub quiz. And it takes showmanship. People are not necessarily comfortable with it. They're better serving their customers. They might not have a local person that can come in. It's expensive to do those things. So from a scale perspective, actually technology allows you to do a really highly polished quiz across multiple locations. So it's great for group customers, for example, where the managers don't have to do anything. They could just do what they're great at. And they don't have to worry about bringing somebody external in to run a quiz. But like Mark said, there's a place for paper quizzes, but there's certainly a place, and even more so now, for digital quizzes.
And I mean, in terms of what kind of scale of investment are we talking for this? Because, you know, versus that pen and paper, you've got to go and buy a job lot of pens down at your nearest stationer, or versus getting some equipment. What kind of investment are we talking?
I think it depends, really. I mean, we run a very cost-effective solution that we can scale. I mean, Adam's touched on the point of scale. You know, we can deliver a live interactive trivia platform or a live interactive game of digital quiz to thousands of pubs at once. You know, because we can work at that scale, we can make this very cost effective. There is always going to be that element of being able to go out and buy some pens and buy some paper and everything else. But when you factor in the time of handing those out and collating the questions and writing those down and everything else, by the time you can just click a button and play a quiz and it does it all for you, it becomes rather, you know, cost effective. To the same token, as Adam quite rightly says, you know, you need people to host these things, do various things. I mean, we're working on a project at the minute where, you know, where people can, you know, they don't need that as well. And so, you know, it's constantly evolving, is the digital quiz landscape, if you will. But in terms of cost, we can make these things very cost effective by doing them at scale. So, yeah.
And Adam, I guess some of the infrastructure is already there in your case then.
Yeah, so that's the beauty. If we're working in a Startle connected venue, we already have the connectivity to the internet, to the speaker systems in the pub, and to the screens. And that unlocks a whole load of benefits. You can promote a quiz before the quiz is started on the screens whilst you're playing music. You have a really great atmospheric transition between music and digital signage or entertainment to the quiz without having to come in and connect HDMI cables, load up laptops, and do all the technical faff that you might associate with a digital product, because everything's all connected. You get into the middle of the quiz, the background music can come back on automatically for the break, and then it goes to the second stage of the quiz, and then back to music and signage afterwards. So our solution is a case of making the most of the investment you've already made rather than additional investment.
I mean, technology can help Quizmasters. Heath, do you think you'd benefit from
what technology?
I was gonna say, could you run a quiz?
What's that?
Could you run a quiz?
No, I don't have the patience. I'd lose my shit.
Shouting at
you. I'd be yelling at people going, "How can you not get that right? You idiot!" I get kicked out of my own quiz.
Whose fucking results are these?
You idiot!
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Cancelled.
Mark, you mentioned the cheating problem and technology solving the cheating problem. How is that working? Surely somebody, if they're quick enough, can still get on Google under the table. How are we dealing with that?
Yeah, they can do. Basically, you get with Quizbit and with our solution, you get 20 seconds to answer each question. The faster you answer, the more points you get. So, therefore, if you have gone under the table, you say, and you try to Google the answer, by the time you've got that answer through, you're then in a position where someone else already answered for you. We also have different question types, so put these things in the correct order. You know, picture questions and what numbers, which are almost impossible to Google in the first place anyway. So by the time people have, you know, started to look at Google and these things, we've got to a point where we're actually, we're already on with the game.
I mean, cheating is part of it, isn't it, Heath?
I
mean,
I think
you're a serial cheater.
Cheated my wife.
I mean, it is, we'll just move on quickly from that. Is cheating acceptable, do we think?
What do you mean? It's not acceptable, Ed.
No?
No.
Like, I mean, I was planning on cheating on the quiz later.
In a quiz scenario.
Yeah. Are you allowed to cheat in a quiz?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah. What is your honour?
It's kind of... Yeah, but everyone's doing it. You're almost kind of...
Oh, my God.
No? I don't actually cheat in quizzes because I would give it away.
How would you cheat? Would you Google stuff? Is that what you're saying?
How most people cheat. I'm not saying I've cheated. Let's not get carried away.
No, it feels like you want us to all say we cheat, then you admit you cheat.
I was just trying to get too complicit and involved.
I'm really disappointed in you, Ed. I thought, here I was, thinking you're a man of the community, God-fearing father.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
You've met me right. coming back to technology, where do we see things going? Where is technology going, guys? What's going to be next?
The AI does the quiz for you. Well, you turn up, get pissed, and let your computer answer.
Well, to be fair, I mean, we've got a couple of guys on later that have done AI quizzes, so we will discuss that. I mean, is that fair, do you think, guys? Is that something we're going to see more of?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, coming back to sort of a bit before, you know, what are the cost of these things? I think the ability is to bring the cost of these things down. So people are used to things like Netflix. People are used to things like these subscriptions. Quizbit itself is a subscription product. And you can subscribe and get as many quizzes as you want. And again, it's something that people are used to. There's some great companies out there like the Tip Jars and the Airships and the Gig Realms and Startles and other people like that are giving digital solutions that... not only just give them a product, but they also add value. So, you know, where can the data capture come in? Where can the insight come in? You know, how can that add value to the operator as a whole rather than just an entertainment product as well? And I think embedding the data side of things, embedding the insight into that and giving that more value is kind of where things are going and where people are going. Where we're going is, we were actually working with Adam at Start on a few things. You know, we've got some concepts coming out which will allow people to simply plug in and play without the need of a host and various other things. So that's all quite exciting. But I think automation, subscription services and people that can offer these things, you know, with data and insight is ultimately where people want to be, I think.
Absolutely. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, so thinking about what we do is designing atmospheres. So we're always talking about how we want people to feel when they're in an establishment and influencing that with music and screen content, but also things like lighting. So we're finding ourselves becoming more and more embedded within the atmospherics of a venue and being able to control and automate those things. So when in the context of a quiz, winners happen, countdowns happen, affecting the lighting to build the drama and make theatre of the experience. So people think, well, that was, you know, a really incredible experience with all these elements working together. So for us, it's very much orchestrating an atmosphere, but also putting in sensors and monitoring that atmosphere and optimizing that over time. And that in future may include AI to sort of learn and automatically enhance an experience, but certainly on the journey of delivering a full experience, not just music, not just a quiz, and digital signage in isolation.
Brilliant. Okay, guys, we're out of time, but final question we're asking everyone, what would be your quiz name? What was the best quiz name you've ever heard of? Adam, or Mark, go on.
I was going to say, I've got loads. We get hit with lots of them, some quite embarrassing ones as well. I've been caught out quite a few times by them as well, hosting live quizzes. I've hosted a live quiz to 1,000 people, and I got caught out very badly by a name that I shouldn't have said, and I did say. but my favourite, there's two I've got. Which is quite obvious. Quiz Akabusi is always a good one. We always get three or four of those.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a few Christina Aguilera's. We get a lot of those. But my favourite one, there's a guy that plays. We do a live quiz every Wednesday at 12:30. We do it virtually to the back. The guy that ends every week, and it's called Sorted for Ease and Quiz. And I don't know why. My 90s upbringing that for me is perfect.
Perfect. Adam, what's yours?
Well, I'm glad Mark went first because it gave me time to Google something.
Cheating!
I can't think of anything that could be said on a podcast. And my favourite from the list I Googled was "We're Googling Everything."
That's
Michael's name.
Perfect. Brilliant. Okay, guys. Well, thank you very much for your time. You're listening to the Lock-In Podcast with myself, Ed Bennington, Nikki Thatcher and Heath Ball. And we've been talking about pub quizzes in this episode. We've been chatting about that, the good, the bad, the Heath Ball. but now we're going to actually put our money where our mouths are. I'm just laughing at my own jokes, as ever. And conduct our own pub quiz live on the pod. To help us with that, we've got our own tame quizmaster, Richard Porter of Hashtag Quiz, who's kindly put together a set of questions for us to test our quizzing skills.
It's going
to
be great.
It's great. I mean, Heath is delighted with this. So thank you for joining us, Richard.
No problems at all. Thanks for having me.
And as soon as you're doing us a favour, I'll give you the chance to get a plug in as well. Do you want to tell us a bit about Hashtag Quiz and what you do?
Sure, of course. Yeah, so Hashtag Quiz is a do-it-yourself software platform for quizzes and bingo. Everything from your standard pen and paper quiz, your traditionalist, to your interactive smart we also cover some of the other great pub games like Bingo, as well as Music Bingo too. If you're in the northwest of England, you probably see us about, because we actually host quite a few of our own events too.
Fantastic. And before we get into you giving us a grilling, I watched a rather disturbing video the other day of you hosting a quiz naked.
You were the only person naked in the room.
Mm-hmm. No, everybody was naked.
Oh, God, yeah, look at this. Imagine the answers. Small. My eyes.
My best joke of the evening was when I was trying to find my little dongle. They all found that highly, highly amusing. But the scenario was,
God, I feel sick.
I was on a relationship dating show called 90 Day Fiancé for Discovery Plus, and I was dating a wonderful woman from the Philippines, and part of our drama was that I decided to strip off and host a quiz completely stark bollock naked. And the thing about it as well was nudity was not required. I chose to be naked.
Brilliant.
I didn't have to do it, you know. It was just like, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, right?
Everyone else was. You might as well get it out. I mean, join in, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be rude not to.
Indeed.
You can't be the only person in the room that's clothed.
Oh, no, that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Don't get any ideas, Nikki. Don't look at me like that. I can see. I feel uncomfortable. Ed, where's HR?
maybe it's a topic for a future podcast. Pubs and naturism.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
No. That's well. Let's move on from there. So, Richard,
naturism in the Great British Pub.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. You are going to hit us with some questions, and we're going to see who can buzz in with the answers first. Now, we don't have any buzzers, because that would be sensible, so we're going to have to make our own buzzer noises. I mean, just I'm loving the Heath's face. Go on, Heath.
I don't know.
Give us your best buzzer noise.
What do you mean, like a buzzer? Like
well, like a noise. You did one earlier.
Yeah,
that was involuntary, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, you mean? Like, give me an example. Can I? Give me.
You did one earlier.
Like,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
That's Heath.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Bzzz.
Oh, okay. That's so annoying.
And I'm just going to go with honk.
What? Just saying the word.
Just honk.
Oh. Such a little piggy.
No, that'd be oink. Oh. Honk. It's a goose. It's like a.
Oh,
I mean, you could go. You but that would take too much time.
What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Richard, let us hand over to you. You can take over the running of the quiz.
Excellent. Okay, so we're down to quiz. Straight faces on. In fact, the quizzes are just meant to be about fun. What's the name of the pub where the character Harry Potter first meets Hagrid? Harry Potter film series.
Oh, that's Nikki.
Yes, Nikki.
Leaky Cauldron.
It is!
Yeah!
Oh, I mean, he did try to cheat and Google it.
Hey, Siri.
Right, go on. Next question. She's laid down the gauntlet.
Great. Are you going to use any adult questions, or are we all just doing
question
stuff?
Question number two. We're on. What was the name of the famous British cocktail made with whiskey, sweet vermouth, and bitters?
Oh, hold on. Whiskey, sweet vermouth, and bitters. Like,
honk.
It's incredibly quiet over there.
Yeah, hold on.
Honk. I'm honking.
Go.
Is it an old fashioned?
Was that Ed?
It was me.
Honking.
Is it an old fashioned?
No, old fashioned's made a bit.
No, it's not Ed. It's not. You're quite close.
Whiskey sour.
No. It's
Heath?
No, I'm just trying to think.
No.
I know this.
Oh, that would have sours.
Yeah, idiot.
The fact knowledge of cocktails is impressive.
I don't know. Give us, tell us.
Go on, give up. Yeah. We all give up.
I thought trying to make these easy.
Yeah.
All right. The Manhattan.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Oh, Heath.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Terrible. Call yourself a barman.
Funny enough, I was in Manhattan the other week.
Oh, here we go. Right, next question, Richard.
Next question. What is the UK's longest pub name?
It's a Welsh pub, isn't it?
Have you buzzed
Ed,
in?
You should know.
Yeah, it's a Welsh pub.
Honk.
You go.
Is it the... Well, the PG, whatever it is, arms. Pothwell, go. I can't remember it. No.
It's absolutely not, yeah.
No. It's the red
and
line.
It's not Welsh either. So I'm sending you on a wild goose chase. Don't think of Welsh names.
Oh.
This place is in Cheshire.
Oh, Ed, come on. You definitely should know.
Oh, I should know this. I don't know everywhere in Cheshire.
You will have reported on this.
Semantics.
Oh.
So because I knew it was you guys today,
so you've probably wrote the story.
Probably.
The longest pub name in the UK.
I literally thought I can't bring in like really easy questions.
This is ridiculous. You should know this. Here, this is your hometown. This is like saying what rugby team plays from New Zealand. It'd be like me going,
Ed, are you googling it?
No, I'm not googling it at all.
You absolutely are. No.
Siri, what's the longest pub name in the UK?
We don't know.
Okay. What's the longest pub?
Stop cheating with Siri.
I'm not. It's my friend. Ironically, my friend's ringing me from Australia.
Is it the old 13th Cheshire Astley Volunteer Rifleman Corps Inn?
Please say no.
It certainly is, Ed.
Hey! Brilliant.
You didn't buzz in. And you cheated.
Am I being penalised?
Did you Google it?
No.
Okay, next question.
Did you cheat?
He did, yeah.
I couldn't possibly comment.
I think you're going to get half.
I'll get half a point for cheating. That's fine.
Okay, next question.
Half a point for that one. Okay, what's the day for the International Beer Day 2023?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know the month, but I can't remember the date of it.
Fuck.
I should have
sent us the answers.
Jesus Christ. I mean, this 28th of May.
He
said he was going to make it easy.
28th of May.
Much more app.
Oh, okay. No. Or August the 23rd.
No.
Oh.
You're thinking that.
No.
It's June.
Got the right month.
Oh, August. Yes.
August
June.
The 28th.
No, I just said you've got the right month in August.
28th of August.
No.
I don't know.
Give me the day of the week. Give me the day of the week.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Is it Friday, Tuesday. August the 4th?
Fuck it, you cheat.
Again,
Jesus!
I did not cheat.
You absolutely did.
This is the way you behave in your marriage, man. You're lucky you're still married, Edward.
Right, come on, Richard. Hit us with the next impossible to answer question.
I should have set the bar a bit lower. To be fair,
I mean, I did say these two were idiots. Yeah. I mean, I said it at the start, but
okay. Next question. Come on.
Yeah, but I don't think they are.
I'm fucking struggling.
The level too high for the people that write about the beer industry and the pub industry. My expectations were a lot higher.
Yeah, but it's like, hold on, it's like a window cleaner. They go home and the windows are dirty in the house.
Popular pub name.
I mean, with
what the most popular pub name is? The Red Line.
Oh, fuck you.
The Red Line.
No. That's not even a question. I avoided questions like that because I knew I was coming here today with the market leaders in the morning. I avoided them. Literally.
You could have given me that, Richard.
Quiz, that would be a question upon pubs, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, next
We've
one.
Got
let's
a question
go.
Similar to that, though, okay. coming in the future.
Okay.
So next question. Next question. Number five. Until 2011, what did Russia classify beer as?
Food.
2000.
Food. Food.
Heath. No.
No.
It was Heath.
Food. We all like liquid lunch, but it's not food.
Honk. Was it non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic what?
It's don't I drink?
Sort of, yeah. It's classed as a soft drink.
Soft drink.
No, you can't say it after it's a soft drink.
This is one of the quizzes.
He shot himself a point.
It's coming home. It's coming.
Because Ed cheated earlier.
Yeah, we've got a point. We've all got a point now.
This is absolute
scurrilous lies.
We've all got a point now. Come on.
Right. Question six. Go for it, Richard.
Question six. Let's do it. What is the name of the traditional British beer that's made from roasted malt?
Mild.
Heath. Let's add in more of the question. And has a dark chocolatey flavour.
Oh, stout.
Stout.
Oh, my God. This is all descending into chaos. There's no buzzing going on.
I buzzed. I honked. I think I got the honk and the stout. Am I right?
And it's all wrong answers as well.
Roasted malt.
Nikki.
Oh, it's lager.
I can take my time.
It's not stout, and it's... What else could it be?
I'm thinking maybe...
It's dark.
Have you buzzed in? I haven't heard you buzz in.
Richard...
Go on, then.
Richard,
I'm after you, then. Come on. I'll throw you down. Come on.
And it's got the same as my surname.
Porter!
If any of you...
Right.
Yes, but it was meant for Nikki.
This is absolute bullshit.
I'm taking that point.
You saw the name?
No,
he gave you the answer.
Oh no, I didn't. Because I knew it was going to be like something cheating. Like that. I picked like, come on.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Okay, next question, Richard. I hope you're keeping track because I haven't got a clue what's going on.
You don't even like quizzes.
Yeah, I know.
I am. Heath is winning. Quizzes are great. I just
I'm loving quizzes. I might start doing quizzes.
Back with an easier selection.
Come on, let's go. Let's move along.
Next question.
While it reports, while most of my information came from the Morning Advertiser,
no one reads
about it.
Well, you got one.
We'll just gloss over that. It's the pressure. It's the pressure of the moment. Pressure of the moment, Richard. Right, what are we up to? Okay. Question number seven.
The Red Lion is the most common pub name in the UK, but name the next two most popular.
Honk, Golden Lion, and the King's Head.
And the King's Head?
Yeah.
No, both of them are wrong. Oh. Anyone else?
Queen's Head.
I'd have gone Queen's Head.
The Carpenter's Arms?
No.
I don't know.
That's terrible.
The silence is killing me, Rich. It's definitely.
Is he right, Richard?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Do you want the right answers?
No. Let me have a go.
Go on, Nikki.
I'm going to go with the King's Arms. So neither of Heath's were right. Is that right? Okay, I'm going to go King's Arms.
None of them have been right so far.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to go with the Cricketers.
The Cricketers? They don't play cricket up north.
No. So we've had six popular pub names and they're all wrong.
Go on then, what are the right ones?
Do you want me to give you the answers?
Yeah, give us the answers.
The Crown and the Royal Oak.
Fucking... He's set under a tree for a fucking afternoon and they name a pub after him and it becomes really popular.
And not the Abitur.
George Charles I.
Beginning to get a bit like pointless this year, isn't it?
Come on, Richard, I need a win.
Maybe it should have been multiple choice answers.
Next question.
Tone it down a little bit.
The game's on.
I blame the quizmaster, but anyway, carry on. Question eight.
I'm starting to blame myself as well. I wish I'd have come back with like super easy questions. you could have told me your audience then.
Hey.
I said they were stupid.
You did say pubby as well. So
I did,
to
yes.
Keep it yeah, we'd have just gone with some general knowledge and a bit of politics. We might have been better because I've niched it. This was in one of your articles. So labelled as one of the UK's smallest pubs, it's called the Nutshell in Bury St Edmunds. Mm-hmm. But what does it measure in feet?
Oh, come on. I could have told you the Nutshell would have been the answer to the question and that it was in Bury St Edmunds. I don't bloody know how big it is.
What, like a square footage?
Oh, is it honk 6 foot by 8 foot?
How many feet by how many feet?
6 by 8.
No.
Okay.
6 foot's close on one of them. No.
Nikki, stop buzzing like a bee.
5 by 7.
I mean, you said 6 foot is close on one of them.
Seven's correct for one of them, and the other number's bigger.
Oh.
Seven's correct, but what's the other number?
Okay,
it's a higher number. Nikki.
7 by 10.
Nikki. No.
Let's kick it on.
Go on, Nikki.
7 by 12.
Fuck, this is painful.
No.
I think let's just get Richard to give us the answer rather than just reading numbers out.
Hardest pub quiz world.
I mean, it's painful, but what was the answer, Richard?
15 feet by 7.
What's the deal with points here? I feel like I should get one.
15
No, you don't do that. Just next question. I'm winning. Right? And if I lose, it's going to be bad.
Okay. The next one should be a super, super easy question because, again, you reported on. What is unusual about the Spread Eagle, which opened in London in 2018?
Oh, fuck. No, I don't actually know.
It's in a nursery rhyme.
Heath.
No.
It's not in a nursery
rhyme. What? I don't know. Is it the Spread Eagle in Farringdon?
I've just got London. I don't know if it's in Farringdon or not.
It's, I don't know. Spread Eagle.
What's unusual about it?
I'm starting to agree with Heath at the moment. What's unusual about it, and it opened in 2018. Every other pub is usually something different. This one is specifically for a certain type of people.
I'm taking a picture
of himself like a weirdo.
My mate's asking me what I'm doing. I'm just saying I'm getting tortured. I'm in Guantanamo Bay.
What makes it? What's the difference?
I mean, if we'd have done a Harry Potter quiz,
oh my god,
she'd have been fine. Yeah. I think we're gonna have to pass.
Right, okay. Well, it was the UK's first vegan pub.
You know why I wouldn't know that?
You're not a vegan.
Because I wouldn't keep that shit in my brain. There's no way I'm remembering that.
Right. I think we've got to finish the humiliation, Richard. You've got to finish the humiliation. Hit us with question 10, and then we're going to go and cry in the corner.
Question 10 is probably the easiest. Really? No, I don't. What is the best entertainment to fill your pub on a midweek night?
Quiz!
Oh,
quiz!
Yes! I beat you all! I am the Grandmaster Quiz Champion 2023!
Brilliant. I'm off the top myself.
Preferably a hashtag quiz.
Richard, I appreciate the ritual humiliation you just all put us through there. Thank you very much for that.
Anytime. next time I'll make sure I set them at a little bit of a lower level for the for the audience.
I think basically,
like, what's Heath's favourite colour?
Toddler level.
Would you like the scores?
No.
In first
absolutely
place.
Not. No. We don't want the scores, Richard. What are you not hearing? No. We don't want the scores.
In second place.
No.
I want to know whether I beat Nikki. Go on, hit us with it.
Of course you beat me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'll live with that.
Nikki, you got a point. Got half a chance.
Oh, how her tune has changed.
Oh, there we go. There she is.
We've gone massively over on this on the basis that you lot were rubbish at quizzes. So
we didn't lose, though, did we, Heath? No, we didn't.
I got an ice cream. You don't have one.
I'm never going to live this down, Richard. You're dead to me as well for putting me through this. But thank you very much for that.
No problems at all. Thank you very much for your time and enjoy your day.
Thanks, Richard.
Cheers, Richard. Thank you. This is the Lock-In Podcast, and we're at the end of this episode. I'm not entirely sure how we follow that last session.
I am the champion.
And I don't think we're ever going to hear the last of it.
No, and it was the complete opposite to what I thought would happen. My guess was Ed, you'd win. I'd come second, Heath would come last.
Indeed.
That's what I thought would happen.
Indeed. That would have been if it had been based on sensible subjects, but the fact that he asked us, oh, hang on, it was about pubs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a waffle, slightly embarrassing.
It was your magazine that you guys write.
Well, provided the content. Nikki wrote the stories and she still didn't know the answers.
Yeah, but also, there was some cheating going on. I mean, aside from the Googling stuff, but you just were shouting out. It was my go. Yeah. You shouted out.
Listen.
I could have got that
The
point.
Only thing history remembers are the winners. Do you think they're going to remember England rugby on Saturday?
I don't think they're going to remember that you won this quiz, really.
They're going to remember you.
They will.
No.
I'm going to make my
So, board. I mean, we've been through a journey on this podcast from the start of it, in which Heath was, I hate pub quizzes. Why are we doing this podcast? You're all a bunch of wankers. Don't want to do
in
it.
A big old strop. Mm-hmm.
To him crowing about winning. I mean, Heath, have we changed your opinion on pub
quizzes? No, I still hate pub quizzes, but I am the best pub quiz person in this room.
There's only three of us.
I know, but still, I have the title. Yep.
Well, yeah, that is true. You have many other titles as well, which we could go through.
We can think of a free.
And you have no soul. Right.
Darkness.
We've asked the question of almost everyone. We didn't ask Richard because you were shouting too much about winning. What would your quiz team name be?
Probably Frank.
Frank.
Yeah.
What? That's what you'd call your team?
If I don't like quizzes. I just think there's no point. If you drag me along and you made me name it and they're all sitting there, all these people going, ooh, we got a funny quiz name. Ooh, go, Charles. After this, should we go to church? No, it'd be Frank.
I've got one for Heath. Artificial intelligence.
Oh, smart. Yeah, for you, yeah, Edward. Yeah, but you've been thinking about that all weekend.
No, I Googled it earlier.
Yeah.
Nikki, what was your team name?
You know what my team name is. It is my fail-safe team name that we
quiz,
have used.
Quiz all over your face.
Quiz on my face.
Okay.
That is...
I don't feel this is a safe space right now. I'm feeling like Nikki's looking at us like...
I mean, we might have to edit that out. I'm not sure it's appropriate with...
You could just leave it blank. She says something and we go, no, you can't say that.
How can you say that about that poor child?
Nikki. Wow.
No.
You ask me, I give you the answer.
So, okay. At the end of the day, I still think, like, quizzes suck.
No fucking chance?
What?
No, that doesn't work either, does it? No fucking chance.
Are you
quizzing my pants?
No.
But you do daily.
At the end of the day, Heath, go on.
No, I just think, like, yeah, I think there's a market for everybody, but I don't know, man. Like, I think people did quizzes originally just to drive sales on quiet nights, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. But I mean, the good, you know, there's always one pub that does a really great quiz in an area, and people do go to it, and it is a good way to go out with mates, isn't it? And have a bit of a laugh. And
it's like putting honey to get
all
the flies.
You don't have to talk to each other. You can just do the quiz.
God.
You know, and that's why we try to get you to go to quizzes, because then we don't have to talk to you.
Quizzes. Yeah, I do. Well, you don't hate quizzes because you just won them.
And you got very excited and very competitive.
And how much you've gloated about it since. We are the champions. You know,
no, I am the champion. You're not we. There's no we in this. This is me.
See?
Don't stop trying to steal my thunder. I'm the best.
And yet you hate the quiz.
Hate the quiz. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
I did have that line in here, actually, but there we go. Well, I'll tell you what. On that note... Before he gloats anymore, I think I'm gonna call this off.
Yeah, that's for the best.
That is it. Please don't forget to like, share on social, and most importantly, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We wouldn't want our other listener to suffer on their own. And also tell your friends if you've got any, Heath. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we're probably going to be taking a look at service culture and the challenges around tipping. So we shall see you then.